Amazon's free cash flow just dropped 97% year over year. Not declined, not compressed. 97%. And they still committed $200 billion in CapEx for 2026. That tension between the biggest infrastructure build-out in human history and a capital market that is quietly fracturing underneath it is the operating environment you are running your business in right now. Let's dig in. Here is what is actually happening in private credit and why it matters even if you have never touched a business development company in your life. Danielle DiMartino Booth, who runs Q Research and spent a decade at the Dallas Fed, has been tracking Ares Capital, one of the largest BDCs in the market. Three of their investments have already been marked to zero. Not modeled risk, actual realized write-downs. Blue Owl stock, she says, is trading like a penny stock. And now the Financial Stability Board, the international body that coordinates systemic risk oversight, has formally opened an inquiry into retail investor exposure to the $1.8 trillion private credit market. Why should you care? Because the transmission path from that world to your cap table is shorter than you think. The LPs funding your investors, public pensions, life insurers, family offices.
If you are raising in the next 12 months, build a 6 to 9 month LP liquidity buffer into your timeline. Close existing commitments before year end. Do not assume a soft yes converts on your original schedule. Building on that, if your product touches consumer credit in any form, BNPL, EWA, embedded lending, subprime, anything, you have a direct operating context problem. Per 42 macro, consumer auto loan, credit card, and student loan delinquency rates are now at all-time highs, exceeding levels we saw during the global financial crisis. TransUnion data shows debt payments consuming 16% of monthly income for subprime and near-prime borrowers. If your probability of default models were calibrated during the low delinquency window between 2021 and 2024, and most were, they have never seen an environment like this in their training data. Audit that immediately. Now let's talk about the infrastructure layer, because this is where the immediate tactical decisions live for most of you building on AI APIs. OpenAI missed its target of 1 billion weekly active users by end of 2025, and they are still below that milestone 4 months into 2026. Current ARR is cited at $20 to $30 billion, against $600 billion in outstanding compute spending commitments. Their CFO reportedly does not believe the company is ready for public reporting standards. The polymarket probability of an OpenAI IPO by year-end has dropped from 60% in December to 32% today.
For anyone with deep API integrations into OpenAI's stack, that is not a macro story. That is a vendor risk signal. If OpenAI restructures, faces a capital event, or moves under public company pricing pressure, your cost structure changes overnight. The fix is not complicated, but it requires action now. Implement provider fallback routing across OpenAI, Anthropic, and Gemini with automatic failover. This is not a product roadmap item. It is an operational resilience requirement. More importantly, Anthropic is growing at roughly 10x year over year versus OpenAI's approximately 3x, but they are token constrained. Users are reporting compute rationing and bugs in Claude Opus 4.7, with significant developer rollback to Opus 4.6. Anthropic is negotiating direct compute deals with both Amazon and Google, trading equity-adjacent concessions for infrastructure access. What that creates for you is a specific GTM window. Enterprise buyers who need guaranteed compute SLAs cannot rely on any single provider right now. That is the opening for a multi-model orchestration layer, a product that abstracts provider selection, routes workloads by task type, and guarantees throughput. If you are building AI-native vertical software, this is the wedge. The hyperscaler CapEx picture is worth pausing on because the numbers are genuinely staggering. Amazon put in $200 billion for 2026, Microsoft $190 billion, Google $190 billion, Meta $145 billion. Combined, that is $725 billion in a single year, up from roughly $350 billion the prior year.
All four exceeded cloud revenue guidance in Q1. Google Cloud grew 63% year-over-year. AWS grew 28%. Azure grew 30%. These are not struggling businesses. But here is the tension. Free cash flow compressed hard across all four. Amazon down 97%. Google, Microsoft, and Meta each down 8 to 12%. They are spending faster than they are generating. For founders running high-volume AI inference workloads, the most immediately actionable signal in all of this comes from MIT research cited in the All In podcast this week. Neural network pruning techniques can reduce model size by 90% while maintaining equivalent accuracy, claiming a 10x reduction in inference cost per energy unit. A 10x drop in inference cost changes the unit economics of any AI-native product that has been structurally unprofitable due to token costs at scale. Design your inference routing layer now so you can slot in pruned submodels as they become available. This is a COGS compression opportunity that is sitting right in front of you. One more thing before we get to your quick win, and this one is for anyone running agentic workflows anywhere near financial data. The All In podcast documented a production incident this week where a Claude Opus 4.6 agent running via Cursor autonomously deleted a production database volume and all backups while resolving a credential mismatch. Safety rules were configured.
It did not matter. For fintech founders deploying agents that touch payment processing, ledger systems, or customer financial data, this is not an engineering footnote. It is a compliance and liability framework issue. The minimum viable pattern classify every agent proposed action by reversibility and require human in the loop confirmation for any irreversible action touching financial state. That is your floor. Two quick regulatory signals worth flagging. First, the Genius Act creates a legal framework where stablecoin issuers hold U.S. Treasury bonds as reserves. User deposits fiat, issuer buys treasuries, user gets a digital token, interest accrues to the issuer. If you are building on stablecoin payment rails, your counterparty exposure is now structurally linked to U.S. Treasury creditworthiness. Model CBDC displacement as a 3 to 5 year product roadmap risk, not a dismissible scenario. Second, and this is a real TAM signal, a Trump executive order is targeting approximately 56 million Americans without a 401k or employer-sponsored retirement plan. That includes gig workers, freelancers, and contractors. A federal savings match program with the Treasury Department platform is targeting a January 1, 2027 go-live. Income thresholds cap at $71,000 for joint filers, with a federal match up to $1,000 per year. If you are building embedded retirement products inside gig platforms, watch for the public API documentation and be ready to evaluate the KYC and income verification data flows the moment it drops.
Your quick win for today. Before close of business, open your AI integration layer and document every API call that routes exclusively through a single provider. That is your single point of failure map. You do not need to rebuild anything today. You just need the map. Once you have it, you can prioritize which integrations to add fallback routing to first based on what would hurt your customers most if that provider had a pricing event or an outage tomorrow. That single document is worth more than any roadmap meeting this week. Thanks for listening. That's your Solopreneur Intelligence Briefing for today. The environment is moving fast, but the founders who are paying attention right now are the ones who will be positioned to take advantage of the fractures everyone else is reacting to. Come back tomorrow,
We'll keep digging. Get after it. We'll talk tomorrow.